How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?
To talk about crushing below or crushing above on a little baby so that you can get an intact heart or an intact lung or an intact liver for sale, there's no way to defend language like that.
If we pervert the Word of God by not speaking the law just to try to get along or to coexist, we're ultimately going to miss out on the wonders of the gospel.
I think often when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we go, oh boy, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Oh no, my sins aren't going to be forgiven. No, Luther says, stop being stupid. Look at the gospel promise.
Didgeridoo players in Iowa, love issues, etc.
Okay. Hi there, Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin, filling in on Issues Etc. for this Monday, August 22nd. And how are you this late summer day? Got a great lineup of stuff coming up this afternoon. First of all, we'll lead off with Dr. John Oberdeck talking about a chapter that he's written in the new book, The Pedagogy of Faith. His particular chapter is The Vocation of Learner. We'll get to that here shortly. Then, a little later on this hour, Dr. Matt Rieger, who is the author of an interesting and very timely new book called Sexual Morality in a Christless World, and we'll be talking about that with him. And then, about an hour and a half from now, we'll have Pastor Tom Baker come in and teach a Sunday school lesson. He'll be dealing with the first few verses of Revelation 19, The Saints in Heaven. All of that coming to you from the palatial, well, maybe not palatial, but certainly hospitable studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois this afternoon as we proceed with Issues Etc. Dr. John Oberdeck is coordinator for lay studies at Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon, Wisconsin, and he did write the chapter called The Vocation of Learner in the new Concordia Publishing House book, The Pedagogy of Faith. John, haven't seen you in a while. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be present. I'll enjoy the conversation.
Now, we're not just talking about here about learning to pursue some vocation that is a particular line of work. So what is it that you're talking about, John, when you say the vocation of learner?
Well, it is helpful for us as we begin this discussion to just nail down what is meant by vocation. And right, we're not talking about a particular line of work. What we're actually talking about is how God makes use of us in order to work His will and provide for His people on earth. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the way it's oftentimes looked at, vocation winds up being a means by which we can please God. Now, not too long ago, I was at the student union down at Marquette University here in Milwaukee, and there was a large placard on the wall, and on it was the statement, serving God by serving my neighbor. Now, on the surface, I mean, that's a pretty positive statement, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Yeah. But as we dig a little bit deeper into it, we find that if that's how we view our vocation, you know, I'm driving this truck because now I can serve the neighbor in order to please God and thereby fulfill my need to complete good works in order for my own justification. But then something has happened to vocation. The calling is no longer me serving others as God works through me, but now it's me using others in order to meet my own goals and my own ends before God.
Yeah, it's kind of like the guy who comes to you, he's hungry, he's begging for a handout, and you say, oh, goody, I'm really going to rack up some points with this guy.
Exactly. Whereas the sense of vocation, and this comes across quite strongly in Luther, and I'm sure you'd be able to point places out in his writings where this is the case, where he describes that we become the masks of God. God wants to care for the neighbor, and the means that God uses to care for the neighbor are the gifts that you and I have received. He uses us in order to accomplish his goals, and thereby we find ourselves as the masks of God.
Now, what do you mean by masks?
That means that God's the one who's actually accomplishing it, but he's accomplishing it through us.
Maybe agents would be a word?
Agents could be a good word. Any number of ways we could look at that. But as we do, we begin to realize how much this frees us for service. Because now we are not doing our good works in our vocations under the law. We're doing it under the gospel. We're not doing it in order to earn points for God. We're doing it in order to bless the neighbor for God's sake. And so that's how God is working through us.
So that makes it all the more important that we do distinguish between learning, so you can pursue some particular line of work, some profession, and the vocation of learner, as you're describing it.
Yeah, here the different way of looking at it is that I'm not learning these things for my benefit. I'm learning these things for my neighbor's benefit. Because by learning these activities, this knowledge, this particular skill, I'm going to be able to serve. So now care for the neighbor, you notice now care for the neighbor is not being based on works, but now it can be based on love for the neighbor. I'm not using the neighbor. God's using me to care for the neighbor.
Now, as you pointed out, John, these are perennial things. Luther was talking about them almost 500 years ago. They've always been there for Christians and for the Christian church. How about today? What are our biggest challenges as God's people trying to live within our vocation as learners today?
Well, I think one challenge we'd have would be just what is it that we're choosing to learn? There's a lot that's out there. And some of it is very, very beneficial. Some of it is not. And first of all, one of our challenges would be to distinguish what is helpful to know in order to be of service and what isn't helpful to know.
So when we're talking about learning here, we're not just talking about accumulating facts. We're talking about accumulating wisdom. And, of course, the biblical passage is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom starts with knowing what to spend your time on and what not to.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that's going to lead us into some kind of catechetical practice, some kind of personal devotional practice. Something that becomes so much a part of our own daily lives that we soak it up, soak it in, and then pursue it, again, not necessarily for our own ends, but for the opportunity for service that it provides.
You know, Luther made the point that reading, conversation, meditation on the Word of God, he mentioned specifically the Catechism, is always salutary, and it puts the devil to flight. Now, that's something that we don't ordinarily think about when we think about learning, something that has the power to put the devil to flight.
No, not at all. And as we're thinking about this vocation as a learner, it also dovetails into a vocation as student. And in fact, As I wrote about it in this short little chapter, I really put those two terms quite a bit together so that the vocation of learner and the vocation of student are quite similar. Now, if we start then with this Lutheran definition of vocation, the question we really ought to be able to answer is, how am I being a blessing to my neighbor?
Through what you learn.
Through what I learn, yeah, okay. But asking that question on behalf of the student, asking the question on behalf of the learner, you know, how is, I'm a teacher in a Lutheran grade school, and I'm the seventh grade teacher, and I've got a rambunctious class that's in front of me, and I'm struggling with them every day, but we're making some progress, but it's a challenge. Now, what is the vocation of the learner in that setting? How are the learners in that classroom now being a blessing? How is God working through them in order to care for me? Because I'm also the neighbor in that classroom.
That's an interesting perspective for a teacher to kind of take into account, because especially when you're teaching the very young, you kind of have to show them the ropes. You have to give them a cue as to how they should be learning. With about a minute before we take a break, talk a little bit more about how this shapes the perspective of a teacher when you think about the vocation of learner that you are serving your students toward.
Yeah, well, the title of this book, in which the essay is included, is The Pedagogy of Faith. So what does this mean for the teacher? It means this student may be a wonderful student, cooperative, marvelous, a joy to be with, but I've got other students who aren't quite so a joy to be with. Can I see that student, nevertheless, as a blessing for me? And how can that student be a blessing for me? There are several things that I'd like to point out after the break in terms of how that particular student can be fulfilling a God-pleasing vocation for me as the teacher, in spite of the fact that that child might be a discipline problem.
That sounds fascinating. John Oberdeck is going to think about this as a teacher, of course. He is professor at Concordia University Mequon, coordinator for lay studies there. Got his own PhD, by the way, at the University of Missouri, right across the river from us. Well, a little bit further downstate in Columbia. He has authored a chapter called The Vocation of Learner in the new CPH book called The Pedagogy of Faith, and we will be back to talk more with Dr. John Oberdeck about this and other matters related to the vocation of learner in just a moment.
Conservative versus radical, two extremes which offer us a window into considering the future of Lutheranism as well.
Dr. Larry Rast speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
For there is a place for the confessional witness Lutherans have to offer in the places in which we find ourselves today, but that witness will only be faithful if it conserves the insights of the Reformation. And that conservation, I believe, is needed today more than ever.
You can listen to Dr. Rath's presentation, Making the Case for the Conservative Reformation, and teachings by Chris Roseborough, Carl Fakencher, Adrian Dorr-Hines, Brian Wolfmiller, and Jonathan Fisk on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in his word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, with us in the classrooms of our school and childcare, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at emmanuelhamilton.com.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Issues ETC for Monday, August 22nd. Ken Sherb here for Todd Wilkin. On the other end of our line is Dr. John Oberdeck from Concordia University Mequon. We're talking with him about the vocation of learner. And just before the break, John, you were suggesting that the vocation of learner in, say, a classroom full of seventh grade pupils also affects the vocation of the teacher. Talk about the interaction of those two a bit.
Well, actually, in the article, I call it an interaction that you could actually call a dance, as you know, the cognitive development, the social development, the spiritual development of that child is growing within the learning environment that's being provided by the teacher. But we're flipping that around the other direction in order to look at it from the perspective of how is that learner, if the student, fulfilling his or her vocation as learner, a blessing to the teacher. And first of all, there's something that simply must be said. By being there, the student is allowing the teacher to fulfill his or her vocation. If there aren't any students, there aren't any teachers.
And if you're talking about seventh graders, they're really giving that teacher a run for the money, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it really provides the teacher with the vocation. That teacher's been called to serve, and these are the individuals whom that teacher has been called to serve, but they are providing that that teacher with the opportunity for her or him to fulfill the vocation to which they've been called. There's another aspect of this, too, and, of course, oftentimes we emphasize the situation of the more troublesome student or the challenging student, but that challenging student, by fulfilling the vocation of being a challenging student, is also helping that teacher grow in understanding application of law and gospel. How do you do this? How do you practice it? And so the teacher's skills are honed and trained by the different circumstance the teacher finds him or herself located in, based upon working with that particular child.
This is reminiscent of how Luther called marriage the school for character. You're talking about a kind of a school for character in the classroom.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And the same thing is true for parents. You know, the learner, the student, is also has a vocation toward the parents. I like to call this the vocation of being a teenager. Particularly, like to tell the story of the situation when my own daughter created a circumstance for us that was pretty traumatic. This is when I was teaching at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis back in the late 1990s. And my older daughter was working at St. Louis Bread Company, just a couple blocks away from campus. Now, she was working a late shift. She was supposed to get done at 10. She should have been home at about 10:30. Though it was only a couple blocks away, we nevertheless had her drive there just so she wouldn't have to walk back late at night. And then we noticed that it was 11:30. She wasn't back yet. It was 12. She wasn't back yet. It was 12:30. She wasn't back yet. And naturally, we were getting pretty concerned at that point. We called the bread company, and they said, oh, yeah, she left about an hour and a half ago. This is the guy who was mopping up the floor.
Yeah, right.
And so at that point, we actually called the Clayton Police Department and said, look, we don't know where she is. She should have been back. Something's going on. Well, we actually were standing outside of number 9 North Seminary Terrace, just looking up and down the lane, when we saw headlights coming down the street. And the closer the headlights came, we noted that it was our car. And she pulled in front of the house, she got out of the car, but right behind her were another set of headlights. And it was the Clayton police. Now, she got out of the car, she looked at us, standing in the front door looking at her, she looked back at the police, and then she said, you call the police? Of course we called the police. By the way, this is in the seminary faculty community, so we were whispering our shouts at each other. The policeman got out of his car, looked at us, pointed at her, we nodded, and he got back in the car and drove off. But, of course, our conversation moved into the kitchen. And now, as I have reflected on this event several times, I've realized that Our daughter was providing us with the opportunity to fulfill our vocation as parents as she was fulfilling her vocation as a teenager. Well, what had happened? She had gotten in a conversation with another coworker. They wound up sitting in the car for an hour and a half in the parking lot. And then finally, she decided to drive home. Nothing had happened. It was not a difficult situation at all. But it allowed us to remember our care and concern and worry as parents for her, which is part of our vocation. But it was part of her vocation as a teenager to challenge us in what we were doing. So that's part of this intricate dance that takes place, even in a classroom situation, between a student and a teacher, where the student challenges the teacher to grow in his or her understanding of law and gospel. When is there time for appropriate discipline? When is the time there for forgiveness and care and love to be shown? And it's those circumstances that train us in how to serve.
We're talking with Dr. John Oberdeck from Concordia University in Mequon about the vocation of learner. Before our time completely fleets away, John, I want to ask you this. There is learning that goes on in all kinds of places, in classrooms, out of classrooms, but there's also the vocation of student, and by that I mean somebody who is engaged in formally receiving instruction. And to varying degrees, all of us, in this country anyway, are involved in that vocation of being a student for years, a significant chunk of anybody's lifetime. What should people, and especially what should the young, bear in mind as they are going about the vocation of student?
Well, first of all, I'd like to refer to another essay on the same subject, because Corey Moss, who teaches at Hillsdale College, he's written a chapter in the book, The Idea and Practice of a Christian University, a Lutheran Approach, and that chapter has the title, The Vocation of Student. So if you want a really in-depth perspective of this that takes you through a historical background up until the present, that's an excellent resource published by Concordia Publishing House. But in answer to your question now, the vocation of student, as I'm instructing, what I would want to do for the students in front of me is help them ask a set of questions. The first question is, who am I as a student helping now? I need to be aware that my vocation doesn't start after graduation. It doesn't start with my first job. I have a vocation right now. The second question I'd want them to ask is, who would I like to be helping in the future? Where do I feel myself drawn, given the gifts and the interests that I have? So who would I like to help in the future? And then a follow-up corollary question to that would be, what will I need to know in order to help that person? I think this is one of the ways in which an older adolescent can be challenged to consider just what their life's work is going to be. Who do I feel drawn to serve, and in what way? But notice the way that we are describing this. There's another term that I don't know how I missed it in the chapter. I didn't even reference it, but it's the term service learning, which is quite an important concept right now in high schools and in universities. The subject of service learning. What do we learn by being involved in serving other people? So those are a couple of questions that I'd really encourage the student to be thinking about in terms of that vocation of learner.
I like it because it puts the student's kind of foot on the banana peel, so you can glide from being a student maybe on a full-time, day-to-day basis now to being a lifelong learner in the years to come. With about a minute left in our conversation here, John, what would you have to say about being a lifelong learner, and how does that relate to vocation and to stewardship?
It's unavoidable being a lifelong learner is simply unavoidable, particularly within our culture today when things continually change, when technology continually upgrades. We all have to be always learning something new. How aggravating is it when the next rendition of Microsoft Word comes out and things are in different places and you have to learn where they went? We're always going to be needing to learn. And another thing to consider at this point would be to help the learner realize that sometimes learning involves hard work. Sometimes it happens so easily we don't even notice it's taken place.
Interesting point. And of course, there's always a need to be a lifelong learner of God's Word. About 20 seconds.
Yeah. We want our students, as I'm teaching the class in the classroom, I don't want them just to be receivers of information. I also want them to become givers of meaningful service. And that's what the vocation of learner really entails.
Dr. John Oberdeck is coordinator for lay studies at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He wrote the chapter, The Vocation of Learner, in the book, The Pedagogy of Faith. John, always a pleasure to have you here on Issues, Etc.
Well, you're very welcome. Enjoyed being with you.
Talk to you next time. Sexual morality in a Christless world. Need I say anything more? We're going to talk to the guy on the other side of this break who wrote the book on the subject, quite literally, Pastor Matt Rieger from Iowa. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. doxology.us.